Rome, Italy is 8 hours ahead of us, which means that it is October 22nd there. So I'm just throwing that out there. We'll come back to that in a little bit, but I want to tell you a story. The year is 1977. So little Father Mark is 6 months old at this point. So it's not a story about me. Just up yonder, in a little town called Great Falls, Montana, there was a deacon on the way to priesthood. So basically a seminarian who had finished his seminary studies. He had been ordained a transitional deacon. He was going to be a priest later that summer. And he got an invite from a priest in town, a Monsignor, and said, "Do you want to come to dinner tonight? I have a guest in town." And the guy was like, "Well, who's the guest?" He said, "It's a Polish cardinal." And he was like, "I don't know. I got plans." And he decided to follow through on his original plans. So he went to a movie called Star Wars, 1977, right? It was all the rage, right? Everyone has to go see Star Wars. So he goes to see a movie called Star Wars and skips out on this dinner with this Monsignor and this Polish cardinal. Later, on October 16th, 1978, that very same Polish cardinal would become known to the world as Pope John Paul II. So he missed a dinner with the Pope, like right before he became Pope, because he wanted to go see a movie that he could have seen any other time, right? And he was telling this priest, ended up being a priest in Billings, I knew him, and he was like, "Yeah, that was a really bad decision, man." And the story was this: the reason St. John Paul II was in Montana was because he grew up in a small town in Poland called Wadowice, and there was an older boy at the time there who became a priest. This guy, Monsignor Gluczek, he ended up living and finished his earthly life in Great Falls, Montana. He has a crazy story. He survived Auschwitz, right, and eventually worked his way from Poland to Montana, and he served in the Diocese of Great Falls, Billings. He lived in Great Falls, and he kept correspondence with his childhood friend, Karol Wojtyła, a.k.a. John Paul II, right? And they kept up a weekly correspondence all throughout their life, so that at the end, as Monsignor Gluczek was getting older, he had a whole closet full of correspondence from Pope John Paul II that he kept, and he knew. He's like, "This guy's a saint." And he sent them all to the Vatican because he said, "You're going to want these. You're going to want these," right? So out of friendship, John Paul II, then still a cardinal, the Cardinal Archbishop of Krakow, he came to visit his friend in Great Falls. And that happened, you know, whatever it is, 80-some miles from here. Why am I telling you that story? Because I told you Rome is 8 hours ahead of us, which means it's October 22nd there, not October 21st, which means it's the feast of St. John Paul II. Some people would say St. John Paul the Great, right? So I'm going to preach about St. John Paul II to you tonight, right? And that's a great joy to me because he's a big reason I'm a priest. He became Pope in 1978, all right? And in that time, so imagine 1978, we're about 10 years a little more than 10 years out of the Second Vatican Council, but also kind of in the throes of the confusion of the sexual revolution, right, that just ran roughshod over all sorts of things. So all sorts of stuff was in disarray, including the church because of the council, right? And so a lot of stuff seemed to be up for grabs. And in fact, this was the way that Cardinal Dolan, the Cardinal Archbishop of New York, described it. He said, "There was a question mark after just about everything." A question mark after just about everything. And so, in terms of our faith, it was God? Question mark? Faith? Question mark? Jesus? The church? Everything had a question mark after it. And then this relatively unknown Polish cardinal, the first non-Italian pope in 455 years, the first Polish pope ever, gets named. as the successor of St. Peter. And through his own personal holiness and the gifts that God had given to him, the graces that God had given to him, the way that the Lord had formed his life. And if you ever want to know an incredible story of an incredible man, read the biography of St. John Paul II, Witness to Hope. It's unbelievable. You couldn't write a story like that in Hollywood because they say, oh, that's too dramatic. No, his life was huge. But through his own witness, his own faith in Jesus Christ, and the ministry that the Lord had entrusted to him as the shepherd of the church, what happened was all those question marks got pulled into exclamation points. So now it wasn't God, it was God. Faith, faith. Jesus, Jesus. The church, the church. That's what the gift was that John Paul II had. This profound awareness of who Jesus was, what Jesus came to accomplish, and how that made all the difference for each and every one of us. His witness is huge. It's hard for you to understand how monumental it is because you're too young. But you need to know that without that man, this world would not exist the way it currently does. You think it's bad now, imagine if John Paul II hadn't been around, right? Because he created a whole generation of young bishops and young priests, including our own Bishop Vedder, who was a seminarian in Rome at the time when John Paul II was the Pope, right? And he formed a new way of going about the gospel. Not that the gospel needed updating. It never needs updating. It has one content. It's the person of Jesus Christ. The gospel is always fresh and always new, but John Paul II knew how to bring it to the world in a way that people could get excited about, and not just excited on an emotional level, excited like I'm going to give my life to this. And I can say that in my own life because going to World Youth Day in 2000 and seeing John Paul II is a huge part of the reason I'm a priest today. Because his own witness, his own personal walking with Jesus Christ set other people free, including me. So I wasn't afraid. When John Paul II stood on the loggia, that's the balcony that's above St. Peter's Square, after he was named, he said, "Non abbiate paura." That's Italian. Do not be afraid. And then he said, "Aprite, no, spalancate le porte a Cristo." Open, no, throw wide open the doors to Christ. That was his message. Do not be afraid. Open, open wide the doors to Christ. Everything changes when that happens. And you know who he spoke to? This is where you can clearly see that Bishop Vedder follows in his footsteps. He spoke to you all. He bypassed all the cynics and all the people who had been so smart for so long, who brought a bunch of confusion into the church. And he went right to you, because he knew that the call of the gospel resonates best with hearts that are ready to give, not hearts that are burdened by their own long years of this world where they're so confused, but hearts that are ready for the highest ideals. And so he started World Youth Day, and people thought it would fail. People thought it would fail. Well, within 10 years of starting it, the largest gathering in human history down in the Philippines happened, right? He said, no, the Pope will go to where the youth are, and the youth will come. And they did. And I know that because I was one of them in 2000. I was young. I was just out of college. And I went to see the Pope, but I met Jesus by seeing him, because that's who the Pope is. He's the vicar of Christ. He's Christ's representative on earth, right? John Paul II, no fear in him. No fear to preach the gospel in its fullness to the youth. That's why he could make challenges to you all. In fact, this card, right, you know, and you guys know, John Paul II said in 1999, Carroll College is meant to be a beacon to the church in the Northwest. He said that. That's not a made-up quote. That's a real thing. A real, true, huge saint talked about this place where you and I are. And he said Carroll College is meant to be a beacon. He didn't say it will be. He didn't say it is. He said it's meant to be. And I love that because it puts the burden back on us to say, do I want this? Do I want this to be a beacon to the church in the Northwest? If I do, then I need to say yes, personally. Me, yeah, me as the chaplain, but you, each one of you, to say yes to that, to not be afraid to open wide the doors of your heart to Christ. And that changes everything when that happens. And so JP2, he said this. He said, listen, and he's talking to you all. This was World Youth Day in 2005. Listening to Christ and worshiping him leads us to make courageous choices. When we listen to Jesus, when we give our hearts in worship, which is why you're here tonight, it's not to hear me, it's to give your heart in worship. That leads you to make courageous choices, to not be afraid, to not play it safe with your life, but to be courageous and to choose to set your life on a definitive course that leads you to Jesus Christ. To not be afraid, to not keep all your options open. What a ridiculous notion. It's impossible, by the way. You'll waste your life keeping your options open. But to choose courageously and boldly. It's like what St. Paul says in this first reading today. He says, you know, Jesus Christ our Lord, in whom we have boldness of speech and confidence of access through faith in him. Boldness and confidence. That was JP2. Then he goes on and he says, Jesus is demanding because he wishes our genuine happiness. See, following Jesus isn't going to be easy. And JP2 never said that. He never once said it. He always said it would be worth it. It's not easy, but it's worth it. Because your life isn't meant for ease. Your life is meant to be significant. You have greatness written in. That's why his successor, Pope Benedict XVI, has that great line, the world offers you comfort, but you were not made for comfort. You were made for greatness. And the greatness of the Christian life is when we set our hearts firmly, confidently, and boldly on the path that leads us to the Sacred Heart of Jesus. And when that happens, holiness happens. And that was the standard for John Paul II. That was the standard that he set for himself, but also for you and for me, but especially for you. He challenged the young people that he spoke to be the saints of the third millennium, the saints of this time. See, and we can wish away our lives, and we could wish things were different, and we could wish this and that in the world and in the church and in our own lives, and all of it is a waste because God is always giving us the grace that we need to be saints. Right now, in this life, not down the road. So brothers and sisters, don't waste your life by trying to keep your options open. And don't waste your life by giving in to fears. The Lord's perfect love casts out fear. His perfect love casts out fear. And that makes us bold and confident. So with JP2's great intercession, for you, each one of you personally, and for this place where we are, be not afraid. Open, throw wide open the doors of your heart to Christ. Saint John Paul the Great, pray for us.